Hello and welcome to the
Husbandits.
I'm Jimmy.
I'm Ryan.
And we are so glad you have joined us. We are laying here in bed. We did a podcast not so long ago in bed and we're like, yeah, I think we were sick then. But we're like, oh, this is just so nice. Let's just lay in bed. You read me some spooky, crazy stuff, mysterious stuff, and I'll just bring my talent to the show because I am the talent.
When is that going to show up? Because we're like 10 episodes in and I haven't seen it.
Number 10! Yeah!
Wait, is this really number 10?
This is number 10.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yay!
Wow. It kind of feels weird. Like we're number 10.
Yeah.
We're like double digits. Oh my god. I mean, I was looking at some of these podcasts and they have triple digits. So we got to get there. We got to start somewhere.
One episode at a time.
One episode at a time. Well, welcome to the podcast. Today, Ryan will bring you what he normally brings because he never tells me. Something either mysterious or spooky or... what is it, Ryan? What do you bring?
I bring mystery. I bring intrigue. I'm an enigma.
And I bring the talent. I bring my personality and my ADD-isms and whatever you call it. I heard, though, I was talking to someone the other day, and they're telling me they no longer call it ADD. It's ADHD now. No more ADD, just ADHD. That's what I was told. So, anyways, well, today was our kids' first day back to school.
Yay.
They are growing up.
They are growing so fast.
If you're joining us for the first time and this is the episode you listen to for the first time, Ryan and I have been together for 13 years and we have three kiddos that we have been fostering to adopt the past 2.5 years and we're finally going to be adopting soon. So more to come on that. But today our two oldest, our 5-year-old and 6-year-old, were starting school, and I was looking, okay, what did we do, like, to celebrate their school? Like, what was the things that we did, Ryan?
We did quite a lot. I don't even know what today is, so I don't remember.
Today is Tuesday, the 24th.
Okay.
So it was their first day back to school. So, like, what was, like, the traditions? Like, what kind of things do we do that we're going to do every year? Like, what's something we do every year? What did we do last year?
Last year, we took Elijah to the beach.
Yes.
So that was last year when he started kindergarten. And then this year...
We didn't really do that, did we?
I felt like we did something.
We had a pool party. We actually went to a friend of ours, their house, and swam in the pool and had a cookout.
That was like 2 days ago, so how do I not remember that?
Yeah, you're really bad at remembering stuff.
I know.
It's how we've been together for so long. He forgets.
Well, things have just been very busy lately.
He's like, oh, hi, man in my bed. Who are you?
Oh, God.
I'm your husband.
You're my husbandit.
I'm your husbandit. But no, so this year, when we were taking them to school, or when we were, you know, one of the ways that we celebrated their going back to school was we... made signs, you know, instead of buying off of Amazon the pre-made signs, we actually had chalkboards with wooden frames and we, you know, wrote out like your their favorite things and stuff and like their age and their name, kind of like what you see on those pre-made signs, but we just wanted to make it homemade. And Ryan actually did that and he did really good. You could tell like it was homemade.
That's what makes it so great.
Yeah.
I tried to draw a T-Rex on it, and then it didn't really look like a T-Rex, and Elijah thought it was a werewolf. So yeah. Either way, you know, he was happy.
A green werewolf. But we can use those boards next year. But our school let us go in there, no masks, nothing, and visit with the teachers and, like, see the classrooms and all that stuff. And we got to walk the kids to school. It was so cute, like, watching Zach for the first time. He's our 5-year-old. He's going to kindergarten for the first time. And, like, watching him, like, walk into the classroom so excited. You know, feels like a big boy. Yeah, so he kept saying, I'm a big boy now. I'm a big boy. What did you think about it, Ryan?
I thought it was the cutest thing ever. And so he's very extroverted, where our other son is very introverted. Elijah. So, you know, we were... we were dropping off Zach first, and we're like, oh, he's totally fine. Like, he wasn't nervous at all. Mm-hmm. He's already talking to everybody.
Yeah.
So he was perfectly fine. And then Elijah's a little quieter and took him a minute, but he made some friends. And all in all, it was a good return to school.
Yeah. And I thought it was. And the teachers seemed to be really great, too. I think that's important. So, like, today after school, when I picked them up, you know, of course, you know, you had the hour-long carpool. But then I took them and got them a slushie. So I think they had a pretty good back to the school first day.
Yeah. They were all excited and they were talking about it tonight in their little bunk bed. I just heard them like talking to each other about it and reading each other's stories. Yeah. It was so cute. They're like little husbandits. They're telling their own little stories. It's so adorable.
It's crazy how fast they grow. But enough about that. Since I'm boring, your turn.
Jimmy, what else do you got?
That's it. So, Ryan, what do you got?
Bandit banter, y'all! Let's get on with this bandit banter.
This week, I am going to tell you about the Enfield Poltergeist. Which was pretty much the most infamous poltergeist story, and the true story behind The Conjuring 2.
Yeah, I was going to say Poltergeist. Isn't that Conjuring 2?
Or Poltergeist.
Poltergeist.
That movie.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
But no, this one is Conjuring 2. So, our story is going to take place on 284 Green Street in London, England, between 1977 and 1979. And a family of five, a single mother and her four kids, moved into a rental home following a divorce. And they were haunted for 18 months with over 30 witnesses to the paranormal activity. So that's where this becomes one of the most documented cases of poltergeist and this paranormal activity, because there's so many witnesses, including a police officer, which... spoiler alert. We'll get there.
Okay.
So the mom is Peggy Hodgson. She had her four kids, Margaret, who was 13, Janet, 11, Johnny, 10, and Billy, 7. And it all reportedly started when Margaret and Janet were playing with a Ouija board in their room.
Dun, dun, dun.
Which, don't do that. Just no. No Ouija boards. Don't, have you ever played with
a
Ouija board?
I'm not scared of no Ouija board. I will
freaking play.
I will bring one home and we'll play with it.
Do not. I will, like...
Is that like sex code? Ouija board?
No.
Well, no? Okay.
It's not weenie board. Jeepers, creepers. But don't ever bring a Ouija board.
I am so going to be... Peggy and divorce. So I had a property... that had a Ouija board in, like, the office, and they moved it. They were so afraid of it. They said stuff was, like, happening, like, in the office, and they blamed it on the Ouija board. So they had to, like, took it and put it somewhere. We don't even know to this day where the Ouija board is. Right. But anyways, I don't believe in any of that stuff, so.
But never bring one.
But Ryan does, so I like to mess with him.
So, August 1977, Peggy Hodgson, the mom, heard knocking and banging coming from the girls' room in the evening. And she was like, them kids need to get to bed. We've totally been in those shoes, right? Yes. And so she went up there to tell them off and found them cowering in the corner. And the dresser was moving by itself, supposedly trying to block the door in before the mom went in there. So she went in there and she actually saw the drawers begin to move by themselves by a strong invisible force.
So she saw the strong invisible force?
No, it felt like it.
It felt like it.
You can feel like a magnet.
I mean, it could have just been a bad foundation problem. And, you know, the house had bad, you know, like, bad foundation. Or maybe it was an earthquake.
Okay.
Where is this at?
London, England.
I mean, I don't know. Is it on a fault line?
Anyways. Look at you, mood killer over here.
Okay.
Spooky.
Spooky.
Put your weenie board.
My weenie board.
Everyone ran out of the house and to the neighbor's house, whose names were Vic and another Peggy.
I like Peggy.
How many Peggies are there?
I really like Peggy.
There's two in the story.
Okay.
Now, Vic went to go investigate and came back terrified as well, because everybody came to their house, but there was knocking coming from the bedroom wall and from the ceiling. So Peggy, the mom Peggy, not the neighbor Peggy, called the police.
Okay. So you got two neighbors. Their name's Peggy.
Right.
The mom and then the neighbor next
door. The neighbor.
Yeah.
Yeah. But they won't be around.
They're probably lesbians.
No.
You think so?
It's Vic and Peggy are the neighbors.
Oh. You never know.
Okay. They came out for the call, and police officer Carolyn Heaps made an official police report that a large armchair moved by itself 4 feet across the room without any wires or any human interference to it.
So a lawn chair moved?
Not a lawn chair, an armchair.
Oh, they said lawn chair.
Like, no, how dramatic would a lawn chair?
I was like, how is a lawn chair inside a room? But okay. An armchair.
Like one of those little fold-up ones?
Yeah.
No. It was an armchair, like a heavy armchair, all by itself, 4 feet across the room. So that was in the official police report from Officer Carolyn Heaps. And they weren't able to do very much. I mean, there's nothing necessarily illegal about a poltergeist.
What would you do, like, if you were to call the police, be like, we have a poltergeist here at our house?
Yeah.
Or would you say, oh, my armchair, it moved 5 feet by this invisible force?
I don't know what they said when they called the police. That would be interesting if that's available anywhere. Like, I mean, right? what did they say? A ghost? Or
like, what do you tell the police when you see, like, for example, like, say our TV, like, say our chair, like, moves across the room and we're sitting here watching it?
I don't know if we would, like, call the police.
Yeah. We'd just be like, oh.
We would call the Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
I ain't afraid no ghosts.
We'll just be like, oh, it's Henry.
Maybe. Yeah. Or it's Luna, probably. She's trying to take the chair outside in the backyard. Yeah.
We'll just name the ghost.
Yeah.
We would give the ghost a name and just name it and, like, just say,
Headless Nick.
Okay.
Calm down. Now, the activity continued.
Okay.
Surprise, because the police couldn't arrest the poltergeist. And lost for what to do, Peggy reached out to the British publication, The Daily Mirror, to help. The photographer Graham Morris witnessed flying objects in the home, and some was captured on camera, including Janet being thrown across the room.
Oh, wow.
Can't even imagine just seeing somebody fly across the room and things flying around.
Yeah.
But all these eyewitnesses. So if one person said it, it'd be like, okay, but multiple witnesses.
30.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you listened.
I did.
The society. Oh, by the way.
Did I shock you with me listening?
Kind of, but I'm in my 30s, which if anybody asks, I'm 27, but I'm in my 30s for real. And I just found out today I can't say decision.
Why?
Have I said that before? Decision.
Decision.
Does that sound right? Because I was doing a video and I kept trying to say it and I'm like, I can't say decision. Decision.
Decision.
Oh my God. I've like, how often have I used that word? And I think I've been able to say it.
Yeah. I mean, last week I was like trying to cross my fingers and like then do like, you know, the hold three fingers up, you know, to count Elijah. And I realize I'm having a hard time doing that.
Oh my God, we're getting old. But for real though, decision.
Like,
decision.
Look at me try to cross my fingers.
Decision. Like, wow, that's so great on the podcast where people can watch.
Oh, sorry. I'm barely able to cross. Like, I think I'm already getting old. It's okay though. I'm going to embrace my age.
Okay.
You get all of this.
Can't wait. The Society for Psychical Research sent investigator Maurice Gross, which his last name is spelled Gross, but I feel like it's nicer to say Gross.
Gross.
Maurice witnessed over 2,000 paranormal incidents in the course of his investigation. He said, when I first got there, nothing happened for a while. Then I experienced Lego pieces and marbles flying across the room. And he said that when you pick them up, they were hot.
Hmm.
So he's like, let's play some Legos and marbles. Thanks. Wow. He also said, I was standing in the kitchen.
So it's probably like a kid. Like, if it's Legos and marbles, it's got to be like maybe a kid.
Mm, we'll get to it.
Okay.
I was standing in the kitchen and a t-shirt leapt off the table and flew to the other side of the room while I was standing by it. Peggy, the mom, said that furniture would turn over, cups would fill up with water on their own, and fires would spontaneously ignite throughout the house.
Mm-hmm.
Furniture would constantly levitate, and once a curtain wrapped around her neck at night.
Okay.
Things got worse when, you know, this knocking was happening throughout the home. You know, knocking on the walls, knocking on the ceilings. And they said that was the scariest part, was the knocking. Maurice witnessed one of the children being held as if invisible hands were holding him down. And they actually had to wrestle these invisible hands away from the child.
Crazy.
Now, Janet started going into these deep trances. So things are progressively getting a little worse here. And her normally high-pitched voice would change into a deep, scratchy one. She would communicate like this for hours, and the voice said its name was Bill Wilkins, a man who died in the house.
Hmm.
So if you remember from the Conjuring movie, you know, Bill, the old man.
Mm-hmm.
Now, researchers were skeptical if the voice was truly from another entity or if she was just making it up or just making a pretend voice. So they did an experiment where they filled her mouth with water and taped her mouth shut, and the voice still came. A recording of this channeled voice said, just before I died, I went blind, and then I had a hemorrhage, and I fell asleep and died in the chair in the corner downstairs. It was proven that there was, in fact, a resident who died in the home years prior named Bill, who died from a hemorrhage in the living room.
Oh, wow.
Creepy! Unlike the Conjuring... Sorry. Unlike the Conjuring movie, though, those famous demonologists Ed and Lorraine Warren weren't as involved in the case, but they did visit the home and also deemed the cause to be supernatural. Two passersby witnessed Janet hovering above her bed from an upstairs window, and the activity did slow down a bit starting in 1978 after the home was blessed by a priest, which, note to self, call them first.
Yeah.
Call our pastor, call our priest, get some holy water.
Yeah.
Now, another family did move into the home soon after, the Bennetts, who... strangely was a single mother and her four kids, just like Peggy and the kids. It's a weird coincidence there. And shortly after moving in, they would hear voices coming from the downstairs living room. Her 15-year-old son was awakened in the middle of the night by what he claimed was a man entering his room, and they moved out immediately, only living in that home for about 2 months.
That's what I would have done.
Yeah, you get the hell out of there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bye, Felicia.
It's like in those scary movies when people like are going towards where the noise is. Hello.
Mm-mm.
Hello. Is anybody there? They jump out.
Oh my God, you scared.
Die. Yeah.
Now, there was evidence that there was some fraud in this case.
Okay.
Now, in one instance, the girls were caught bending spoons on their own to see if Maurice would catch them, which he did. And in adulthood, so Janet, you know, when I saw the report, I think she was in her 40s. So she claimed that only 2% of the case was faked. So there was some instances that are a little sketch of where they were making some stuff up.
Okay. I mean, if 2% is fake, then how much more is fake? You know?
Right.
Yeah, it doesn't make any
and
sense.
And like, why would you be bending spoons to like pretend like it was Bill Wilkins? I don't know. But Janet ended up spending some time in a psychiatric hospital. Tests proved, though, that she appeared to be in stable mind and mentally okay. So there wasn't much that came out of that. Her younger brother, Johnny, died from cancer at 14, sadly.
Yeah.
And her mother died from breast cancer in the 2000s.
Wow.
And I have a picture here. I tried to put some pictures to show you.
Yeah, I've... That's weird.
I'm going to play a clip of her talking as Bill Wilkins. Are you ready?
I want you to tell me whether you remember what happened to you when you died. Just before you died and just after you died.
Days before I died, I did. I went blind. Then I had an hemorrhage and I fell asleep and I died in a chair in the corner downstairs.
Bill, if you're there, would you answer me the following question? What have you done with Denise's 30p?
Headed out to the radio, downstairs.
Sorry, Bill, can you say that again, please?
Headed out to the radio, downstairs.
Right up, Bill, I'll go and look. Thanks so much. Why can't Janet fool you?
I'm invisible.
You're invisible? Why are you invisible?
So I'm a G-H-O-S-T.
Creepy, right?
Like, I mean, like, I would imagine, she's, how old was she?
She was 11?
11, yeah. I mean, her being 11, I'm curious, like, what her voice sounds like.
I know. Well, see if
how, we can throw that how in could she make such a deep like voice like that?
I don't know. Especially if she had a high pitched voice, like it says in the articles. I mean, even looking at her, I'm like, I can't really picture her sounding like that.
No. Mm-mm. That's so creepy. But I mean, looking at that one picture too, if you scroll down, or she's keep going, she looks like she just jumped off the bed.
Yeah.
That's what that looks like to me. So I don't, yeah. But that voice, though, especially when he talks about, like, how he died, mm-hmm. It's really creepy.
Yeah. And the fact that there was actually somebody named Bill that died.
Yeah.
And, I mean, they didn't have Google like you do to just go and
but they also, but they do have laws, though, like certain laws where you have to disclose that when you're buying a house or... You know, so like,
yeah,
we have, there's certain things probably that they have in place. So they could have known that somebody died there.
True.
Named Bill. And they could have found that information, how he died. Yeah. So
the scary movie had a lot of those elements in there that I can kind of remember. But that is the Enfield Poltergeist.
That's very interesting. Very creepy with a voice. Well, thank you, Ryan.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's necessarily, you know, I wanted to do it not because it's creepy or, I mean, it is creepy, but not just because of that. I think it's interesting to think about, like, if there were so many witnesses and if it actually was a thing, it just makes you think, right? Yeah. Like, what could be out there? And then if not, then it's a mystery of, like, okay, how'd they fake all this stuff and pull so many people and... That police report of just somebody that's a police officer saying that this thing moved all by itself 4 feet and not a lawn chair.
I don't normally. Yeah. But that was that voice, though, is like, ooh.
Yeah. Moral of the story, don't play with Ouija boards or Weenie boards.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to bring one home and see what
Please do not.
He's like over here sweating and freaking out. Yeah.
No way, Jose. Don't do that.
So that's it. That's our podcast, right?
That's our podcast. And don't forget to leave us a 5-star review. And we say it every week, but we love you guys so much. And it's so great in helping people find our podcast and gets us really excited to give you more. And then let us know, too, if there's anything that you want us to cover. If we get enough reviews, who knows? Maybe we'll make Jimmy do some research and see what he can come up with.
The talent here is just waiting to come out of me.
Oh, God. Well, I think that's a great way to end the podcast.
All right. Well, have a great week, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.